Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And 19 years, the Washington, the Redskins, the football team, Commanders, all of them. Nobody could win a damn playoff game. And you know who changed it? Jaden Daniels. Unbelievable game last night in Tampa and throughout the week. What we all said, I mean, go back and listen. It's on the Odyssey app, Lamphill. Go back and listen. And what we all said throughout was Tampa's got a lot of advantages in this game. Tampa looks to be, I think they have a little more talent on the roster. I think they had a lot of kind of natural advantages. But Washington had Jaden. And that doesn't take away from what was a pretty good effort defensively. There were a lot of things. De'Ami Brown stepped the hell up. But you get into late game situations. You get into late game situations and close games, and there is nobody on the planet, at least nobody in the NFC, that you want with the ball in his hands more than Jaden Daniels. I mean, the young man is just simply unflappable. Does it seem like Washington's got a horseshoe? Yeah, it does. I mean, they doinked in the game winner to go to the divisional round. Like, that doesn't just happen. But, dude, there's also something, too. You hear Dan Quinn, Terry McLaurin, Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner with a huge fumble recovery. You hear these guys talk about winning time moments, making plays in big spots. That stuff doesn't happen on accident. One, you have to put yourself in position to make plays. You have to put yourself in position to be in games late, to be there when it matters. And that's what Washington has done over and over and over again. There is a, you know, relentlessness is a word that kind of gets celebrated. People are like, oh man, that's relentless. Like that these guys play relentless. The way they approach a season, relentless. And that kind of gets celebrated. But there's another word that I think is fairly similar that people don't celebrate, and it's ruthlessness. Like, if you're ruthless, that's generally considered a negative, like a pejorative, right? This football team is ruthless in their pursuit of victories. And it doesn't matter if it's the playoffs, doesn't matter if it's week three. They are ruthless. And all that means is they're going to do whatever it takes to get the win. I thought last night was just such a fascinating example of a team. By far, there's a million different takeaways from last night. How in the hell Can you win time of possession 35-26 to 24-34 when you are completely ineffective running the football? How can you go 8 of 15 on third down when you are completely ineffective running the football? They had 22 first downs. They out first downed Tampa in this thing. Their running backs, help me with the math in live time here, 18, 19 carries for 27 plus 16 is 43 plus 1. 19 carries for 44 yards. That was your running backs in this football game, and you dominated time of possession 35-26. That, offensively, I thought Kingsbury was really good. And then you want to talk about ruthlessness. You want to understand that mental premise. I saw it on Twitter. I was getting text messages. People were flipping out about fourth down situations, right? Early in this game, you're super aggressive. Could you have kicked? Yes, but they go for it. Dan Quinn, I was listening to him in the locker room. Yes, I was in Tampa last night. Yes, I'm currently in the Navy Yard studio. Don't ask questions. I was listening to DQ last night. That locker room scene, that the tunnel scene with Magic, I mean, all of it was just ecstatic and deservedly so. Dan Quinn said, we're going to be bold but not reckless. And I think that's how they played it the entire game. They were 3 of 5 on fourth down. All season, they've been the number one team in the NFL on fourth down. And if they changed it last night, they're not being true to what they've built, how they've accomplished it, how they've gotten this far. And if you do the math on the two fourth downs they didn't get, say you kicked there, it's less than the touchdown you got late. And what do you do late? Fourth and, I guess it wasn't a goal to go. It was fourth and something. But down inside the 10-yard line, Jaden finds McLaurin. And it was the guys that deserve this thing are right in the middle of it. Jaden gets popped in the face early on, is bleeding out of his face. Looks like Rocky when he's fighting Clubber Lang. And he's able to stitch it up or glue it up, whatever they did.
Put a little tape on it.
It was – and B, I'm saying what this team does is a ruthless pursuit of victories.
They fight.
They fight.
They
like
fight to the
hell.
End. They don't quit. I know a lot of people want to say what they want to say, but this damn team right here deserves a lot of praise and pride.
Dude,
if you don't give it to them, you're a hater.
I mean, they're on to the divisional round at this point. You know, like it's no I don't know. I'm sure Jeff will tell me later that I'm wrong, but I don't think there are haters at this point. I can't imagine anybody is not giving them the proper credit now.
There are still haters at this point.
I don't think so.
I are fans and we hang that every day. Is that what you think?
It's not even being a fan. It's just watching.
No, they're one of
how many teams are still playing? 8?
Yeah. Well, right. But I'm just letting you know, I hear it live. I see it on social media. But to hell with them. 13 wins in a divisional round, still moving forward. It's all the hell that matters.
The game last night was just such a perfect microcosm of the season. You know, this was not a slow start game. And this was not, I'm not going to pound the defense on this one. I thought defensively they played fairly well. I know Marshawn Lattimore had some trouble with Mike Evans early on. Evans, I think, had about 70 yards in the first half. He finished with 92. There was a lot of talk and concern about Bucky Irving going crazy in this thing. He ended up with about 85 yards from scrimmage. He did catch that one touchdown, which, you know, some people will tell you wasn't offensive pass interference. Some people will tell you they call that 8 times out of 10, and they didn't. It was a good play design, but still, McMillan runs directly into Frankie Louvu's chest and points at him pre-snap, which I found fairly egregious. But still, like, this was – the reason they won is Jaden Daniels' ability to make plays at late in games and just be completely unflappable. Mm-hmm. But this was a team win through and through. I mean, special teams had a good night. The fact that the kid doinked it in is just –
as I said before,
there is some sort of magic following this team, and then there's actual Magic Johnson in the tunnel outside of the locker room.
As I've said many times before, we talk a lot about the offense. But the offense don't get a chance. The defense don't, at points, give them the ball back.
Dude.
And John said, John Dowden, you talked to him last night on your show, he said straight up, man, defense, we just want to get the ball back to Jaden. Because we know if he gets the ball, we got a chance. And I think that's what happens often. You know, we talk, just like, think about the 1987 Super Bowl. Oh, man, they scored 35 points in one quarter. The damn defense was getting the ball back for them. So that get lost in the shuffle sometimes. But, you know, nothing is perfect. But, hell, I will go to war with those dudes any damn day.
Dude, it's so hard to watch and throughout. I mean, we were in Tampa since Friday night, and there were so many Commanders fans down there. It was burgundy and gold. I mean, the amount of, like, actual Redskins gear I saw was, I mean, people were pulling stuff out of their grandfather's closet. Like, it almost seemed like it was a contest to come up with, like, the most cool kind of throwback gear. And it was such an impressive vibe. And every time people would ask me what I thought of the game, I was like, man, you can't count these guys out. And ultimately, if it's close late, Jaden's got the ball in his hands, they got a chance. And then you see it last night, and it unfolds exactly that way. And we're going to open the phone lines up. We're going to just take phone calls all day. Brian, I was saying this. Jaden is so impressive, dude. He finishes the game 24-35, 270, two touchdowns, ran for another 36 on the ground. Mm-hmm. He had like 32 at halftime. Tampa made a good adjustment to kind of slow his legs down in the second half. They're able to win time of possession 35-26 to 24-34, and they couldn't run the ball Their backs, I think, we just added it up, and they got 19 carries for 44 yards. To be 8 of 15 on third down when you're unable to run the ball is just phenomenal play.
I think the thing about the running the ball is this. We have developed our mindset that, oh, you got to have 100, 200 yards a game. Sometimes you got to just constantly have the threat of the run. And what I love about it, and I know people look at the numbers with all these stats stuff, that stuff has gotten blown out of proportion. The whole thing that you want to do is win the football game.
Sure.
And what they do, they keep running it. It may not be getting the yards they want, but you still have to be concerned about it. The moment you
there
have a defense.
There are games where I would agree with you. Last night, the run game was just so ineffective.
Don't make a difference. They kept running the football.
The only time the last drive when they went to Eckler kind of full time on it, that they were able,
Jay,
to move it there.
If you just completely stop running the ball and the defense can pin their damn ears back, you're done.
I agree with that.
So they keep handing the ball, which makes the defense slow up just a little bit. And when you have a quarterback like Jaden who can run it, who can throw it, you make it a little bit it may look bad as a running game per se, the traditional way, but it gives him the opportunity to use his skills more.
Well, I mean, specific to that, on that last drive, one, how about Terry McLaurin? And you don't really see this from a wideout. There's 4:41 on the clock when they get the ball at the end of the game. And Terry says, we're not giving him the bleeping ball back.
Yeah.
We're not giving him the ball back. I think Todd Bowles at the end of the first half and the end of the game was really bad time management, and that's great for Washington. Shout out to Todd. I think Jaden made a pair of plays on that drive. The third down pass to De'Ami Brown was just a perfect ball. It's third and six from their own 34. This is a high-pressure situation because at that point, Tampa still had all three timeouts left. Third and six, you're still far in your own territory. You don't pick that up. You got to punt. Finds De'Ami down the middle for 21. All of a sudden, things have flipped upside down. Because now you're at least to midfield. The way DQ was coaching this thing, you know they're going to be aggressive if you get to a fourth down. They give the ball to Eckler there. It's 3:20. I think De'Ami gets tackled with like 3 minutes left. No timeout, nothing. They get the ball to Eckler. They run the ball there, which was absolutely the right call to force a timeout call from the Bucs. They don't call one. They run two plays from 3:20 all the way down to the 2 minute.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, and they're at midfield. It completely shifted everything.
Hell yeah.
Then Jaden finds Eckler for that little pass, which was wild. Eckler gets 18. Finally, Tampa's calling timeouts because Washington's at the 27. Mm-hmm. They're already in field goal range. Eckler gives him a really good 8-yard gain. It was kind of not quite a draw, but there was a little delay to it. Now everything's on the table. What they have counted on, I'm a big believer in what can you count on, right? And offensively, throughout the season, they run this little QB counter, usually to the right side. Yeah. That's the play they can count on. You need two, I'll get you three. You need three, I'll get you four. It didn't work one time this season. That was in Philly on fourth down when they called it. If you remember that Thursday nighter up there, that was the one time I remember all year it didn't work.
It almost didn't work last night.
Third and two, they run it to Jaden. It looks like he's about to get hit in the backfield. He's able to evade the pressure.
He never looks like he's stressed. He just smoothly, give him a little stiff, ran on and got first.
Third and two, 4-yard gain, first down. Then they get into the middle of the field. One thing I wasn't so sure about is, so they get first and 10 from the 15. Now, it ended up maybe mattering. Rather than just kind of lunging sideways to get where Gonzo wants the ball for the kick, Jaden kind of jumped backwards. So they lost 4 yards. So you went from the 15 to the 19.
Yeah, but
I'm kind of being funny.
He was trying to put on that left hash for him.
I know.
And I'm glad they put it on the left hash because based off of what happened at the end, my heart skipped a beat, dog.
Dog, that joint was leaking. You know, you swing a little too fast with the driver, and that joint takes off straight like a rocket, and then it's just leaking right.
I went back and looked at a lot of stuff prior to that kick. What in the hell was he doing, taking off his sock, putting it back on, shoe, all of the hair stuff? He was nervous, dog.
He's got some stuff.
Yeah.
I
guess that's the first time he had that situation.
He's got some stuff, man. I don't know how to describe my man Gonzo.
But as I said last night, we won the damn game. Nothing to complain about.
Their playoff drought was almost legally drinking. 19 years, dude, is just absurd. And
that's a good one right there.
For these guys to break that, year one of Dan Quinn, year one of Adam Peters, is just unbelievable. And year one of Jaden Daniels, you wonder what the sky is the limit for in this thing. You wonder as they're able to continue to build this roster or whatever it is. But they got some magic right now. And I'm not trying to do a weird pun because of Magic Johnson being there. I loved what Magic said after the game. And one of the reasons he's been so reserved this year. I mean, Magic has really made himself scarce, especially when TV cameras were around. And he said, he's like, I don't want anybody to make this about me. I want this to be about this team. I want it to be about Terry and Bobby and Jaden and everybody in that locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think he's correct. And these guys have earned that, deserve it. I thought John Allen played a really good game last night when they needed it. I think defensively, we're going to get so caught up in how this thing finished and everything Jaden does, which is really tremendous. One thing I said going into this thing, I didn't want to play Philly because I think they got the best 1-53 roster, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever, you got to play who you got to play. It's the playoffs. But when there was the talk of L.A., Tampa, or Philly, to me it was always Tampa was the team you wanted to play. They were just so up and down, so volatile. I thought Philly's 1-53 was the best. I thought L.A.'s got the best coach. This game plan last night from Cliff and the Commanders, I can't stress enough how incredibly smart it is for them to hold time of possession so significantly. You know, Baker was pretty dialed in. He had the fumble, but just as a passer, he didn't miss much.
You don't miss when you don't have pressure.
You know how many times he threw the ball?
Yeah, like 16, 15 times.
18 times.
Yeah.
15 of 18.
Yeah.
Dog, like, in an ideal world, that's double. Like, if you're Tampa and the way Evans was cooking dudes, you'd want that to be 26 of 30. And they just limited possession so much. Bucky Irving averaged 4.5 a pop on the ground. He got the ball 17 times.
But you know what happened to them? They got in a situation where they had a team that was having those long, sustained drives. That 9-minute drive, 17 plays, touchdown at the end. I've said it to you many a times. You do that consistently, there's not an offensive coordinator in this damn league that sticks to a game plan. They're going to always come out now and they're going to start trying something else. So you had them
that
stressing.
Drive started from their own eight.
Yes. They went 8-9 minutes, and when you get a touchdown at the end of drive like that, you got to try and come back and do something. And then all of a sudden they realize, we can't run and gun with these dudes. You know, they had that knock, that kind of drag it out type performance. But Washington can put points on you quickly if they want.
Dude, and the slow starts have been so problematic for quite some time for Washington. They give up the field goal early, but Tampa was moving that ball. It looked like that was going to be a touchdown drive. They're able to kind of stop them when they get to, I think, about the 30. They force punts on the next two possessions. Mm. Tampa had some inopportune penalties and stuff, but defensively, you got to give them some credit, man. The when they took the 10-3 lead or in the second quarter, that was a three and out. And, defensively, I thought they were good in this thing. I thought game plan-wise was really smart. I think there's just so much to appreciate about this team. And we're going to talk about Detroit all week. Detroit's obviously a beast. That's you got a lot to worry about going to Detroit. You got a lot to think about. They got a lot of weapons. That place is going to be an absolute zoo. But, yo, that's a good problem to have because you're in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know what everybody in Detroit's saying? Let's be real. You know what Detroit talk radio is saying today? Damn, this kid, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a close game against him late.
Hey, man. Detroit didn't go undefeated, did they?
Nah.
Case closed.
Nobody did.
Yeah.
Yo, you know who Detroit lost to? Tampa. You know who just beat Tampa? Washington.
There you go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west. We are in Ashburn, VA, baby.
Colburn.
Yo, it's cold out here, man. I'm going to give you a... I'm going to get my camera on. I'm going to give you a legit feels like. Okay, what do you think it feels like
out
there?
It feels like, I would say, 17.
Okay, so the temperature is 23 degrees right now in Ashburn, Virginia. Feels like, per my phone, B-Mitch guessed 17. Feels like 15 out there.
Well, I tell you, my head felt it. I had to throw the hood on today.
Bro, it was cold. I have a show tonight, so I tried to comb my hair so I can have my hair combed for the day. That lasted a second of being outside, and I immediately put a hat on.
You comb your hair in the morning, and you don't comb it anymore?
If I get it right, like if you're looking at the stream right now, like this is TV ready, and if I get it right in the morning, it typically holds throughout the day. I'll have to give it a little cleanup, but like if I get it right, I'm good. But once I put the hat on, I'm cooked.
How much spray you put on that thing?
Not a drop, baby. Au natural.
That's why it's not holding.
Right. Well, I mean, I have stuff I can put in.
I can't even put mine in the morning and do nothing to it. I got to do something before the afternoon.
While we're talking personal appearance, I do want to talk to you. I would open the phone lines on this topic,
right,
but it's divisional round of the playoffs, so we can't waste too much time. Sunday at Buck Stadium, you looked at me and talked about this.
It's back.
Bro, I don't think it's a zit. I don't know. It won't go away. And what's incredibly bizarre, yo, if you're on the stream right now, I'll give you a close-up look. You see that joint right there?
Hey, I saw it from a distance. I don't know if Donald was telling you, but...
B, it's weird. Like, do you ever see the Seinfeld episode where he's dating this girl that looks different depending on the lighting? I'm telling you, whatever's going on with my nose, like, if I'm back here, it looks pretty normal. If you get up close...
I can see it still, Jay.
But now you're looking for it. But you don't...
No. You can see the difference.
But it's not a zit. A zit would have gone away. I've been putting treatment on this thing for...
Well, what the hell is it?
I don't know. I need a doctor.
Let me see. Oh, other side.
Other side?
It's an ugly spot, though.
I mean, it just happened at age 43. I got an ugly spot.
It came back again, dog.
I'm telling you, it won't go away. I don't know what to do.
Go ask Donna again today. See if she's.
I'll ask Donna today.
If she says she don't see it, she's just BSing you.
So, I got lots of confessions this morning. I need help with whatever's going on my nose, and it's like the absolute tip of my nose. I look like freaking Rudolph. Landfill wants me to send him a picture. The answer is no, Landfill.
Landfill, just look on the street. I'll try to work one out for you today.
Yesterday was Jeff's birthday. Very happy birthday to Jeff. I was coming in. I was fine time-wise this morning, completely fine. And I was listening to PFT's podcast, and they're doing ads for Doritos. And they did this, like, long conversation about how good Doritos were. Mm-hmm. And I just had to stop. Like, it got in my brain. There was no way I wasn't eating Doritos. So if you see the bag behind you, I also was like, it's divisional round. I'm going to get some food for the people. I got big bag of Doritos, big bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, big joint of Oreos, and a big thing of Fudge Stripes. I feel like that's pretty good junk snack food for the room. You can fuss all you want. I know you're going to eat it once I open them.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I'll take the over on maybe not.
Maybe not. But I may eat some of the Oreos.
Okay.
But Doritos.
But because I stopped at Wegmans, unplanned, this was an unplanned stop, then all of a sudden my time got very tight. And
you got to learn. When your time is tight, don't stop.
Sure, but it was
then
a craving.
Then you get a phone call to tell somebody to get it.
It was a craving.
All you had to do is call Cody. You're done.
Yeah, but then I got to walk out there and meet him. It's fine. So I'm here on time. We're all good. You know, we've already done all of our planning. And, you know, it's well documented how we park on the grass out there. Mm-hmm. And
the snow.
Well, the snow-ish, but the snow is, like, melting a little bit, and now stuff's starting to freeze over because it feels like it's 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming in a little hot.
Did you slide?
It was the electric slide out there.
You parked next to me.
I was fine.
You almost hit my car, didn't
you? No, because it was more snow up there. I'm talking about the part... Right, you know they have those cones set up?
Yeah.
It's pretty slick right there when you pull in. And I maybe should have pulled in a little slower to the point where I get out of the truck and I'm walking up here and
the guys see you?
The guys that run the gatehouse are cool. Like, we've known them forever. And
generally, it's just, especially when it's this cold, because they got heat in the little gatehouse.
Yeah, they said it. It's
just a wave. He opened the door and said, "You got 2 minutes to spare," as I was kind of hustling my way up to the annex. But, dude, all right, so it's today's Wednesday. We're going to hear from the coordinators today, Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt. It's going to be a very interesting day as these guys gear up for what is undoubtedly the biggest matchup, frankly, of their coaching careers, I would say. Now, Joe Witt may have been a coach on some teams that went to the NFC title game in Green Bay, and Dallas got to the divisional round. And I think Dallas lost in the first round both while he was down there. But Joe Witt has been on staffs that may have gone farther than this, but never as the D coordinator. I don't believe Kingsbury's been on staffs that have gone farther than this, or even gotten to this level. And both of them are now legitimately in conversations to get head coaching jobs elsewhere. Whether they take it, whether they get offers, that's a different conversation. But both Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury are on a national level of interest now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fascinating to hear them today. Cliff doesn't like to give us a lot. Cliff kind of laughs at jokes. Joe Witt is so intense and so focused on accountability and turnovers. I think that the test before him against this Detroit offense that has speed and power and weapons and precision.
They try to just take your heart.
I mean, but that's a dude. You know the famous gif of Jon Snow? I think it's Jon Snow from Game of Thrones with the whole army coming at him. He's just standing there with his sword. Like, taking Joe Witt's heart is impossible. Now, they might lose. They might not execute properly. They might not have all the horses, but he'll never back down. And I think it's going to be fascinating to hear him talk in advance of this matchup today.
But I think the whole thing about it, though, you got to – You can think what you want sometimes, but you also have to be – you got to face reality and understand you may have to adjust some things. And this is a game you're playing against a team that they come at you in many, many different ways. And you're going to have to probably adjust a little bit. You may have to take some risks. Because one thing I know, Jared Goff, if he's not pressured, he picks you apart. If he's pressured, he'll throw the ball to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of – I mean, not to oversimplify, but you and I talked about Baker like that last week.
Yeah.
And I think that was known. Now, Goff only threw 12 picks this year. I believe five of them
he
came
did five in one game.
One game.
Yeah.
So if you could remove the outlier, which I would always advise, he threw seven picks over 16 games, 37 touchdowns, almost over 4,600 passing yards. The discussion around is Goff good to me has been retired for some time.
He's good.
Goff is quite good. He's been good for a while.
He took a team to a Super Bowl.
He's got,
and look at the numbers he's put since he's been in Detroit.
Dude, they were in the NFC title game last year. Jared Goff is good. Anybody that thinks he isn't, you're an idiot. That doesn't mean they – I loved what I heard in the locker room yesterday. And I, if you want to watch – what I've started to do on my YouTube page is just put up like all the video we gather from the locker room, because a lot of that stuff is edit room floor. Like, there's just not enough time on television for all that stuff. And I think fans really care about getting to watch all of it. And the first person that said it to me, and then I heard it from multiple guys in the locker room, completely respectful of Detroit. It was Quan Martin was the first guy that said it. He said, "They're really good. We understand that. We respect them. But we're good, too." You don't get to this level. There's only eight teams left. There's 32 teams in the league. There's only eight teams left.
Yeah.
Washington is good and belongs to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to be your mindset, right?
Totally, totally. If that's not your mindset, then you're fooling yourselves. You know, like, I know I've been in the media a long time now, but I still hear it all the time where fans and a lot of media people automatically just, oh, they don't have a chance. There's not a player that play in this league that don't think they have a chance. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen games where you assume that a team don't have a chance, and all of a sudden they win the game. You know? And what happens is when you start listening to the outside voices, you start thinking like them. So that when you tell the team, oh, you know, you're playing this team, they don't have a chance, they start believing that team don't have a chance until it's 5 minutes left in the game, and they're up by one touchdown on you. or they only down by 3 points and they got the ball in their hands with 4 minutes or something to go and they go down and they, you know, win the game on you. Players always think they have a chance, and they should.
I found this pretty damn interesting, B. Do you know how many times in your career you made it to the divisional round?
I don't know.
4 times.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive. And I think they're missing one because I don't know how – maybe you're – that doesn't
– 99, we went to the divisional round. When we went to the Super Bowl.
No, so it was – so your rookie year, then you guys win one and then go to San Fran?
Yep.
Obviously, 91.
Yep.
92, you went and then lost in the second round. And then 99 and then 2000 in Philly. Mm-hmm. How many – was it
– Well, in Philly, it was 2001 and 2.
That's what I thought. So it was all 3 years you were in Philly,
yeah.
Right? So that – this is – because Pro Football Reference is only – gauging your games you had touches in and not returns. They shorted you. So 90, 91, 92 is 3. 99 is 4. And then another 3 times in Philly, right?
I think we went to
twice.
We went twice. We went twice to the championship.
Right, so that's at least twice to the divisional round.
Yeah.
And you might have gone to, unless you lost to the wild card round the other year, you probably got to the divisional round and then lost.
First year, I think we won one and lost the next round.
I think you were in the divisional round of the playoffs half of your career.
That's fine.
I'm just saying that's pretty remarkable, honestly. I'll run through that in the break. But what is – oh, here, I finally got it here. Yeah, dude, so – I mean, you went a lot. The 90 season, the 91 season, the 92 season, 2000 season, the 01 season, the 02 season, and the 03 season. 7 times out of 14 years.
You skipped 99? You said 2000.
The games were in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, so the 99 season.
Yeah.
What is the mentality like going into this week?
Just like it was last week. You know?
Even though, like, sometimes I know players are coached and taught to keep the same mindset, but do you not feel the difference?
No. Just like what Jaden said yesterday, it's the same game for me. That's the message I got my first year here. You know what? You're going to feel that the elevation changes, but your mindset, you got to go through your same motions. You know, if you start feeling that this game is more than any other game, what do? You start pressing. You start trying to do different things. You know, you put extra pressure on yourself. No need for that. You just go through you go through the same things. Now you may go through that film a little deeper, a little more times. You know, you may look at your notes extra because what happens as you go forward, it's only the mistakes. If you can alleviate your mistakes and the other team may have mistakes, you win that football game, hands down.
It's crazy because the locker room, I thought, was the right mix of kind of loose and locked in. And they've been like that largely most of the season. The only time I thought they got a little tight was during that 3-game losing streak. And that was 3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 months ago? At least. That was late October, wasn't it? It was I think you got to give the staff a lot of credit for how they've set things up, and I think you got to give the players a lot of credit for keeping it locked in.
And what happens is you have so many young guys on this team, it's their first time dealing with that, but you have some veteran guys who understood how to get out of it. And watching Bobby and Jaden, watching that relationship right there, that tells me a lot. You know, these guys look for those older guys for guidance. But when they get it, they get it. And then they start to implement it in their own everyday life. They don't do like a lot of young kids today that automatically think that the old person don't know what the hell he's talking about. When, if they learn to listen, maybe they wouldn't have so many damn mistakes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because the veteran dudes have gone through this stuff. They understand what's happening. And they can get you to the other side a lot quicker.
I'd like to dismiss something. I don't want anyone thinking this, okay? I got this tweet from Patrick Boozer. Here are the Lions' wins. Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, Titans, Packers, Texans, Jags, Colts, Bears, Packers, Bears, 49ers, Vikings. That's 8 wins against below 500 teams. I'm not impressed. Anybody that's on that train of thought, get off it.
You know, but
that
but,
is so. That, but, that's but, the same dumb stuff but, that people see, want to say. Washington has to be playoff teams.
The reason he's doing that is because people did it to Washington.
Well, it's dumb both ways.
But if you go through any football season, any season, and you start looking at the actual wins against what was a team, a playoff team or not, a lot of them played against teams. But you know who you playing against? Professionals, NFL football teams. You got to beat them. Line them up, knock them down. So that is coming based off – that is a direct hit on who was saying what Washington didn't do.
Okay.
But ignore it.
It's really dumb. Don't think this – yo, it's okay to go into this game recognizing Detroit is good. Detroit is good, but you know, so is Washington.
The fans can think what they want.
Sure.
The football team –
I'm just trying to help.
The football team and the coaches can't think that. And believe me, they aren't.
They don't think that.
That's what I'm saying.
No way they think
so
that.
So let the fans do what they do because fans are fanatical. They always are, like, way out there. Hell, we work with Jeff every day. We know that. Way out there. Jeff is on the
– Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Plank?
Happy birthday.
What's the little plank they call it when you walk it?
I'm
the
good,
plank.
Man.
You
thank
the
you.
Plank.
Yeah. They always on the edge. So you understand that.
Jeff, we didn't get to wish you a happy birthday yesterday. How are you,
buddy? Happy birthday, Jeffrey.
Thank you, fellas. I'm good.
All right. What'd you get into last night? WF 3.0?
Can't tell us all that.
I just had a great night.
Glad to hear it, buddy. How old are you, Jeffrey? 31? 33? You may be aging in half dog years, we determined.
Yeah, I'm 31, man.
All right. Your 31. Reggie Miller year. Enjoy it.
I can't even remember that year.
Well, I know what you can remember.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
You mean to tell you where you were at 31?
No, you have to tell me where I were.
Where were you?
Where I was. I was all over the place.
You were probably in Philly.
Yeah, I was.
Age 31, your last year in D.C. You probably turned 31 that August of 99, right? I'm not a math guy, but weren't you born in 68? Mm-hmm. Bang. Look at your boy.
Look at you. You're learning a little bit.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Washington's a good team. And Jeff, we had this conversation yesterday about haters or not. And Moolah Jones listens to the show every day, and I appreciate him. And he tagged me in this thing last night on Instagram where he had a – what's that?
That's Devon.
Is it?
Oh,
that's what I thought. Okay. You just put it out there, B.
No, I'm just trying to make sure you understand who it was.
So I think – For Devon, he tagged me in this thing on Instagram that was a screenshot of, I don't know what channel, but mm-hmm. Say it was one of the pregame shows. And say there were 8 people or whatever making their picks of Commanders Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Say like 2
Everybody but one.
I think it was 2 versus 6.
Tirico, I thought, was the only one.
Okay. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
That, to me, is not being a hater. Like, if you pick the other team, that's not being a hater. Now, if you want to talk about Dan Quinn's not going to keep it going, or they haven't beat anybody good, or Tampa didn't play that, or you got lucky with a Baker fumble, like, there are comments that are haters. But, like, if we get to Detroit this weekend and people are picking Detroit, that's not a sign of haters.
Well, that's Detroit. That's not Tampa.
They were going on the road. They were an underdog. I don't think it's a hater to say you thought
well,
Tampa
I can tell
was going to win.
I walked
it
in,
came down to the wire.
But I walked in here this morning. And I went over there to talk to Maddie, who does the show with us. And I met Anna Newkirk. Anna said, some people still don't believe. Some people still hate.
Then they're idiots.
But that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of people out there. So it doesn't make a difference whether they're in the media or they're out the media. There are people who do not want to get away from what was. That's haters. We got people we work with, haters, okay? Let's be real. There's a lot of them out there. The ultimate thing is you can't constantly change, move the goalposts and the goal line, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people are doing that. Every time they accomplish what they say they didn't do, then they got something else. That's hating.
Fine. I just don't think if you think the other team's going to win in a playoff game.
I think the other team's going to win. No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. But the ultimate thing is that there is hate out there. So,
well, I think at this point, you're just an idiot. You're a Cowboy fan or whatever, and you're just seeing what you want to see. Like,
they're probably more Bear fans than Cowboy fans that's doing it.
That's fine.
But they still hate.
I just think that's so stupid. Like, if you can't identify this as a good football team that's able to control the game through their offense, through their quarterback, mm-hmm. then I just don't think you're either naive, honest, or have some other agenda that's driving you.
That's a lot of times what it is. Right
I just
there.
Think that's so dumb. I don't like
it exists though. That's the whole thing about it. It exists. It's not that it doesn't. It exists. People are out there and they think like that.
But specific to Devon's thing, that's not hating. Teams, you're allowed to pick different teams to win.
A lot of them don't want to give the team any credit based off of a Super Bowl loss. Remember, it's a Super Bowl loss. It was not a regular season loss.
DQ, you're saying,
or the fact that this team hadn't done things before. Rex Ryan has gone the other side. Rex has to argue with this guy. He's telling him, look, this dude here is a train killer. Talking about Jaden. Well, people want to find everything they can because
I think, by and large, the word, like the national punditry surrounding Jaden Daniels is through the roof now.
Yeah, you got people
talking about the best rookie quarterback they've ever seen. Orlovsky said it was a combination of Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah, I'm glad he finally came around because he wasn't around at first.
I don't care. Like
I'm just saying.
But if the play forces them to change their opinion.
Yeah, but the thing about it is the play was good enough early enough to where you should have been thinking about what you're saying now. Then, I don't buy people that once there is no other way, you just go on the side that there is. I don't go with them then. You got to be forced because you say something negative now, you look stupid.
Sure.
So my thing is, if you can't see that early enough, then guess what? That's what I call hate. So I don't want to hear it once you won the race. I don't want to hear it once you already 75 yards ahead of everybody. I want to hear when you're still close enough. That's when they let me know you can get past what your personal feelings are and produce and say something about what something really is. But once it's all said and done, hell, what else you going to say?
I'm just – left hand up, the haters can't stand us. To hell with all of them. Brian, when did you know this team was good?
I felt they were good when they went to Arizona. The Bengals and then left the Bengals game and the way that they handled Arizona back-to-back. I said, you know what, this team is something special. You know, I understand the Bengals, once we beat them, they didn't want to start trying to knock them. Arizona, once we beat them, then they wanted to try it. Now, before it was knocking them. But the way that they handled them, and you watch the way the offense was working, I say they have something going. Still didn't expect it to be like it is right now. And I'm at the point now, listen, I played this league 15 years. I don't care if the team didn't make the playoffs because they had one loss, too many, and you beat them. Maybe you're the reason they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I don't buy that stuff about you. Oh, they didn't beat a playoff team. You beat an NFL team. You beat a bunch of professional football players handily. And they did that a lot. They put 40 up on people, 38 on people. And you're telling me, oh, well, it's not a playoff team. They didn't have to go out there and beat them 7-6. They beat them 42-14.
For me, it was the Bengals game, and it was specifically the Jaden to Terry touchdown throw is when I was like, oh, my God, this is very, very different. He got blasted on that, stayed in the pocket. It's week 3 he's been in the NFL. And I mean, I can almost go back. I think halftime of week 2 against the Giants is when Jaden was like, all right, I'm good. I got this. Because Jaden wins from the pocket. He then can use his legs, but yeah. his – of all the superpowers that young man has, the best is his right arm from the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think people get so confused and twisted by so many other things. That's what I saw at LSU, and that is what has continued. I think you saw it second half, week two against the Giants, and then what he did against the Bengals. I mean, it was the greatest rookie quarterback performance in a single game ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
In prime time.
Against Joe Burrow.
Against Joe Cool, as they called it.
Sure. Yeah. And I thought that performance was like, oh, my gosh. And what stood out to me throughout the year is this was not smoke and mirrors. Like, it was not – there was – Robert was really good, and they hit the ground running, right? Mm-hmm. But you knew that was not the basis of an NFL offense, yeah. right? Like, they were running different stuff, and maybe you can keep running it, it'll always work. But odds are you're going to have to do other things.
Yeah,
Jaden in that game was 21 of 23.
Yes.
And he ran another 40 yards, but he was 21 of 23 for 250 and two touchdowns from the pocket.
This is the one thing I think people forget, Jay. Before this season started, most people said this is a weak roster. They don't have enough personnel pieces in place. They got to get this. They basically were telling them go to the damn swap meet and go get all types of players. Then when they start winning, then people go to all, they go away from them. Oh, they're not that good. Till damn, they're playing good now. Till now we got to dismiss them. Oh, but they're not beating anybody. They've done everything that they had to do. You know what I'm saying? And Tampa beat us in the first game. And people were praising Tampa. Then Tampa started to slide. And they came back strong at the end. Tampa wasn't playing against no damn barn burners either. But nobody said that about them.
Right.
You know, that is when I'm like, okay, only one team is held to that standard of, well, they hadn't beat a playoff team. Tampa beat teams like the Saints, the Panthers, that type of people going down the stretch. So what's the difference?
Right.
If both teams are playing the same people, why is one being knocked for not playing against the other one is being praised about look how good they played? Hell, this team went on, what, a 5-6 game run, lost through 2 or 3, came back and won 5 more. So they know how to play football.
Totally. Phone lines are lit up on this. I want to let all the boys weigh in. When did you know they were good? You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Alabama, Arkansas. All right. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Here's what we're going to do. I haven't checked in on the stream. I'm going to check in on the stream real quick. It's probably Strizzy. It's always Strizzy. It was not Strizzy. Shout out to Tay Dub. Tay Dub checking in first, says, morning, fam.
What time?
10:01 a.m.
Strizzy was at 10:01 as well.
Yeah, but it's who's first in the thing.
I saw Strizzy's name first when I checked in, because I checked in. You're last. And he said, I ain't cheating.
I mean, I believe you. Brian Pico says, what up, JP? What up? All right, a lot of things to kind of run through here. I want to have a conversation about how to try to cover Detroit, because it's pretty difficult. But we just got this Bill Belichick story is kind of breaking that he hasn't signed his contract.
With North Carolina?
Yeah.
But he's been doing all the work and stuff. What?
Right. And I think, I mean, you and I.
So if he hasn't signed his contract, he's been working. What if North Carolina said, well, you didn't sign a contract, we don't have to pay you?
Or what if he doesn't have to pay that buyout if he goes and takes an NFL job? I don't know. It's odd. Now, what I can say, I don't know if you've ever had to do this, but in our world, in the media world, we work on contracts, and sometimes you don't cross the finish line
until later.
Yeah, like say your contract expires February 1st, and you're working on it, and then there's like a snowstorm, and the lawyers still have to go through everything. Like, you keep working, and even if it gets done, like, February 9th, you know?
Yeah.
But, and that's not uncommon at all.
So that's happened a lot.
Right. I don't know how uncommon this Belichick thing is.
This hasn't been a few days, though.
Yeah, it seems
it's been a few days.
Like, they've had a press conference. He's hired people.
Yes.
They're probably handing out money in
Hell,
a transfer portal.
If he's out here BSing, he's messing over some friends now. Because what if he decides to go, don't take some of those guys to the league with him, and somebody else gets the job and says, I don't want none of you bums.
Yeah, dude, it's odd. It's
Bill Belichick, dog.
Everything is on his own weird terms, it seems.
Yeah, so it's all good.
Hold on, I want to drop. I just saw this. I hadn't seen this. I'm dropping this in the group text. Hopefully, I sent the right thing. Yeah, I did. Sports Grumpy, who is JP Finley's ears on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's clearly a Photoshop, but it looks like
David
in
the Lion's Den. Daniel in the Lion's Den.
Well, it shows what I know. I looked at that and it was like Gladiator kind of. No, whatever it is.
It's more of a biblical thing where Daniel went into the Lion's Den. This is what it's about.
Well, especially because they're playing the Lions.
And it's Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Daniel went in the Lion's Den or David?
David was with Goliath, though.
Who was Jericho? Joshua?
Y2J,
somebody fought
baby.
The Battle of Jericho. Who was it?
What did
you say? Y2J, Chris Jericho.
Good morning, Landfill. We haven't heard from you. How are you, buddy?
I'm Landfill, money,
you
baby.
You brought wrestling into this football conversation.
You guys are the ones that brought up Chris Jericho.
We said, who is Jericho, not
yeah, somebody Jericho. Fought the Battle of Jericho.
Save us, Y2J. He fought battles every Thursday.
Maybe Jeff. Jeff's very religious. Jeff, who fought the Battle of Jericho?
It was Joshua.
Now,
you know, I don't know
rock.
If you're right. But you said it so factually, I'm taking
you
I'm
mentioned
counting.
Joshua earlier.
I feel like there was a song. Joshua fought the battle.
Battle
of
Jericho.
Yeah, there we see. J Dogs Forever. Jeff, Joshua, Jericho, JP. Bang. Good morning, White Brian. How do you do?
Good morning.
Okay, great. I mean, that's riveting content right
well,
there, White
that, Brian.
Brian,
we got it. We're going to eject
get
you.
Get him a
coffee.
We're
going to eject you with some
something.
Damn Red Bull, dog. You on
right.
Valiums or something, dog?
Here's what I would like to do. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's a simple question. How do the Commanders beat the Lions? Tell me how. Give me your plan. Give me your structure. I want to talk zone defense versus playing man. Detroit's really good against man. I want to talk about fourth downs are going to be vital in this thing. You got two head coaches named Dan with goatees that like to go for it on fourth down. It's going to be happening, folks. Phone lines are open now, 800-636-1067. High noon in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We are fired up to get our boy Aaron Schatz on the line, the chief analytics officer over at FTN Fantasy. You can follow FTN Fantasy, of course, the creator of DVOA. Dude, Aaron, before we get into the Commanders, what they've accomplished, what they could accomplish next week, I wanted to start with, I feel like at one point, halfway through the year or so, the Vikings DVOA was really starting to come into question. And then we saw last night that they got clearly run through by the Rams. Did that surprise you, that result last night?
I was surprised that it was such a big result. Like, I thought the game would be closer. The Vikings' defense was not as good in the second half of the season as it was in the first half, but their offense actually was a little bit better until the last 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden – Darnold just could not get rid of the ball and just kept taking sacks, and it was terrible.
We saw that last night, man. We sure saw that last night. If you were running Minnesota, how would you handle this Darnold get back to McCarthy thing?
2 weeks ago, I would have said you have to franchise Darnold and then have the two of them compete in camp and hope that McCarthy wins the job, and then you only have to pay Darnold for 1 year. Now I think you let Darnold leave after what we've seen the last couple of games, and you give the job to McCarthy, and you have Daniel Jones as your veteran backup.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think that's the right.
He messed up some money, man.
Yeah, he did.
Last night I was like, I'm yelling at the TV, man, throw the damn ball. My daughter was like, Dad, what's wrong with you? He would not let the ball go.
He would not. It was the clock in his head was broken, broken, broken.
All right, let's turn to the Commanders, Aaron. I'm curious kind of what you've thought of them all year, and then to go down to Tampa, get the win against the Bucs, kind of snap this playoff win drought in Washington. Just, you know, what do your eyes tell you? What do the numbers tell you? How good is this Washington team?
I mean, it's really exciting. It's a wonderful story. Daniels has been fantastic. The offense has been very good, and the defense has not. There are a couple of players on the defense who are, you know, very good and talented. Certainly the guys on the defensive line. And, I mean, Luvu was fantastic this year, and Wagner. But there's problems in the secondary, and that leads to, you know, the defense being below average, and that's their problem. The problem is they're kind of a one-sided team.
Like, I noticed in our game, like, I see that with the defense, but in the second half of games, they make adjustments and they stop teams. Saquon Barkley, 109 yards in the first quarter, 41 the rest of the game. What do they need to do to try and get to that point earlier instead of later?
I don't know. You know, watch a lot of film, obviously. You know, try to figure out what Ben Johnson's going to do with that Detroit offense. The Detroit offense is fantastic. Their running game in particular is incredibly efficient. Jahmyr Gibbs had a fantastic season. So, you know, you look at the Detroit defense and the Washington offense, and you're like, that's pretty equal. Washington can really keep up there. But when you look on the other side of the ball, it's just problematic. I also think after watching the playoff game, you have to wonder, is Lattimore really fully healthy, or is he playing hurt? Because that was not the same Marshon Lattimore we usually see out there.
Yeah, Lattimore, you know, at the end of that game, though, as good as Evans was early, I think he only finished with 90 yards. I think he was at like 65 at the end of the first quarter.
Lot more than he usually gets against Lattimore. That was not, sure. That performance was not, like, before he came to Washington, before the hamstring injuries, like, Lattimore was really good this year, and he was definitely off in that game. And so I'm not, like, trying to disparage him. I'm saying I don't know if he's fully healthy yet.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's interesting going into this matchup. You know, specific in Tampa, I thought Washington did an excellent job of controlling the clock kind of through the air, which is hard to do. Detroit's another team that likes to control the clock. How does Washington specifically attack this Lions defense that definitely has some holes?
I mean, it has holes because of the injuries. And I think, start with a lot of Terry McLaurin, because their top cornerback, Carlton Davis, is out. You know, Anzalone in the middle helps solve a lot of things, certainly like run defense. But I think they'll be able to find McLaurin. I think they'll be able to find Diami Brown. There's a pass rush, definitely, you know, Za'Darius Smith, but the pass rush is not as good as it was certainly when Hutchinson was healthy. It's a pretty even matchup.
What is an even matchup? Just the kind of the Commanders passing attack.
The Commanders offense
the Lions.
Against the Lions defense. That's a pretty even matchup.
Okay. Then let's flip that over, and I fear the answer here. Talking with our friend Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy. You can give him a follow at A Schatz NFL, SCHATZ. What do you make of the Lions offense and the Commanders defensive matchup?
Yeah, that's just not a good one for the Commanders, but especially the run. The Commanders were 26th in run defense by DVOA, and the Lions were number 2 in running offense. So you talk about wanting to control the clock and what they're able to do with Gibbs and with the offensive line, especially Penei Sewell. It's sort of an offense that's built around the right tackle, which is sort of interesting. They should be able to run the ball on the Commanders, which puts Goff in good down and distance situations, which gets the ball downfield, which scores points.
And Matt, so when you go into these games, I understand how Detroit runs the football very effectively. But I also watch games a lot, and I look at an offense like the Commanders. When they get those 9-minute, 8-minute drives, when that offensive coordinator gets the ball, he doesn't constantly stick to the run. Do you ever notice that a team that can have those long, sustained drives, get a touchdown at the end, it adjusts what a team likes to do and make them become more one-dimensional?
I mean, it definitely – I actually just did some research for the NFL's Big Data Bowl, and we looked at run-pass ratios, and what you have success with early in the game definitely changes what you want to do later in the game. If your running game is working, you tend to run more. If your passing game is working, you tend to pass more.
Sure. I think you ride the horse to get you there, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it sounds like so stupid and blatant, but at least, you know, it's nice that the numbers show it's true.
One thing I'm curious about, and I don't know what, if any, your research will show versus just watching the games. What do you make of, I mean, it's now 5 games in a row, and throughout the season, Washington's ability to win late. How can you quantify that into a way that makes you look ahead?
I mean, I think some of it is your expectations of rookies are that they're going to panic a little bit in those situations. And Daniels hasn't. I have different feelings about clutchness than other people do. A lot of people believe there are certain players who are special because they are clutch. I think that most professional athletes are pretty clutch, but there are certain players who are special because they're not. And those players are not playing for the Washington Commanders right now.
The ones that are not clutch.
Yeah. They've got some clutch dudes. I mean, Daniels is nails. I mean, it's fantastic. The other thing I'm going to point out, by the way, from an analytics point of view, is how much we love Dan Quinn being aggressive on fourth downs against Dan Campbell, who's aggressive on fourth downs. Watching these two guys try to out-aggressive each other, you know, defensive-minded, kneecap-biting coaches who are also smart analytically, is just great stuff.
Yeah, this game, I mean, specifically going into this game, it's
we have no punts the whole game.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, you've got a good punter, too. Didn't even use him.
Right. I want to ask you about the rest of the games this weekend, but going into this weekend, knowing what Detroit is and what Washington is, too, it seems like you kind of expect Detroit to win but wouldn't close the door on Washington. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds fair. It's certainly not like a dramatic, dominant, like it's absurd to think that Washington would win kind of situation. You could definitely tell the narrative. I mean, the narrative of Washington's win starts with that as great as the Lions' defense was against Minnesota, that they still have a lot of defensive injuries, and the defense kind of reverts to what it was more over the last few weeks, and Washington scores a lot on them. That's really where you start the story of how Washington wins this game.
Detroit is a team that Jared Goff has had a good year. He can throw the football very well, but they depend on their run. If Washington happens to put scores up on the board, I think that's their best chance because now they get away from what they like to do in running the ball, and they just begin to throw it all the time, which in essence gives them a chance to get some turnovers.
Yeah, especially because if you can pin your ears back and rush Goff, I mean, we all know Goff is not a creator out of structure. Goff is awesome in structure, but he's not a creator out of structure. So you want to get the pressure on it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's zoom out to the rest of the weekend, talking with Aaron Schatz here. Two guys that could create in or out of structure, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, to get this Ravens-Bills divisional round matchup. Seems like it could be a pretty epic game. Baltimore is actually favored on the road in Buffalo. What do you make of this game? What does kind of your math tell us?
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is one of the best teams of all time by my numbers. Their offense has been one of the best, most efficient offenses of all time. I mean, you don't even need advanced stats for that. They're the number 3 team in NFL history in yards per play. And their defense has improved dramatically since week 11 when they moved Kyle Hamilton back to safety and sat Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams. So they are a really great all-around team right now, except for some reason special teams, which is usually a highlight of the Ravens. But the Bills are a really good all-around team too. The Bills' defense is not as good as what the Ravens' defense has been, But the Bills also have guys back from injury now, like Matt Milano is back now and Taron Johnson is back now. So, I mean, this is definitely one of those, like, last quarterback with the ball wins the game, kind of going to be one of those crazy epics.
Will that be enough to combat that offense, that run offense of Baltimore?
Man, Buffalo hopes so. Buffalo's run defense is better by my metrics than the Bills fans think it is, but it's not anywhere near as good as what the Ravens running game is. And of course, you know, Jackson makes holes for Henry, and Henry makes holes for Jackson. Like, it works in tandem.
Certainly. That game should be fun to watch. Let's start Saturday afternoon, though. Another Saturday afternoon with Houston playing playoff football. Houston going to Kansas City. The Chiefs coming off the bye. You see a path for the Texans getting that upset?
Sure, if they can play defense like they did this week. I mean, but I don't think it's likely. I mean, the Chiefs were the better team during the regular season, and the Chiefs have whatever, you know, hey, they hold things back in the regular season and then they turn it on in the playoffs, you know, whatever that is, they've got going for them. And they've got the whole Andy Reid the week after a bye thing going for them. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes' magic if the game is close in the fourth quarter is going for them. I think the Texans are the least likely of the road teams to win this weekend.
I tend to agree with you there. What about Rams-Eagles, dude? I mean, that could be a pretty – the Rams looked pretty damn good last night. They got a lot going on, but they looked pretty damn good last night.
Oh, man, if you like trench play, that young Rams defensive line against the great Eagles offensive line is going to be a just amazingly good, interesting – fun matchup. The Rams are coming on, but the Eagles are the hottest team in the NFC over the last few weeks if you take out the backup quarterbacks. Right? Like, Jalen Hurts was out three games and the offense wasn't as good. But now he's back and the offense is better. And I think their passing game is better than people give them credit for. The running game is obviously great. The defense is the best in the league. But the Rams are coming on. This certainly is a closer game than it looked like before what the Rams did last night. So I think the Eagles should be favored, but it's closer than – certainly closer than Texans Chiefs, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Aaron, the other thing going on, obviously, across the NFL is the coaching searches and some of the names you hear and what the hell's going on in Dallas. What do you make of Deion's name being linked to that Cowboys job?
Oh, God, so frustrating. It seems like just searching for headlines instead of searching for playoff wins. If you think about what Deion Sanders brings as a coach, I would think that his biggest strength is recruiting, right? He is a very forceful personality. And he has influenced many good players, obviously Travis Hunter being the most important one, to play for him instead of playing at larger programs. Guess what? You don't get to do that in the NFL. Like, maybe he could recruit a free agent or two veterans, but, you know, rookies, you don't get to recruit them based on the force of your personality. So you can just take the best part of Deion Sanders as a coach and just get rid of it, in which case, what's the freaking point?
Who do you think the best coach available is?
Ben Johnson.
Do you?
I mean, listen, head coach is a different job than coordinator. And you don't know if a guy can do the CEO parts of that head coaching job until he does it. But as far as which coordinators are, like, most deserving of a shot to move up to that next level, Ben Johnson.
I agree with that. That offense has been fantastic and creative and uses so many different weapons.
Suppose he's a North Turner, though. A guy who's unbelievable.
Right, that's right. You don't know.
He's an awful head coach. Turner.
Aaron Glenn could be Wade Phillips. You don't know whether guys translate from coordinator to head coach, man. It's hard.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think of the job Cliff Kingsbury's done here in D.C. and kind of what, if anything, happens for him?
Surprising, because I think we all expected that Cliff Kingsbury fall off in the second half thing to happen. And it kind of did for a little while, but then it they went their offense got back on track, and I think that that has more to do with Jaden Daniels' ribs than it does with Kingsbury. So he's an interesting candidate. I would shy away from him, and I would probably go towards someone newer, like a Johnson or a Glenn. But I understand why teams would want to talk to him.
Yeah, I think. Do you think the success of Dan Quinn here in Washington will kind of change the thought around hiring a guy for a second gig?
Well, I mean, there have been lots of guys who've been hired for second gigs and been good. I mean, Belichick is the greatest example, right?
Sure.
So,
but it seems like people wanted to get away from that, and now just looking at the hirings, the interview cycle, Vrabel's the first dude to get a job. That's a second gig. Seems like McCarthy's going to get one somewhere. It feels a little different.
I think what the Quinn thing helps teach, and this is sort of going against my Ben Johnson excitement, but you can bring in a defensive mind, and if the offensive coordinator is good, you'll still have that offensive intelligence, and the defensive, that head coach is the CEO who overlooks the whole program, and he puts the character and he puts the culture into place. So you don't need to shy away from defensive coaches. I think that, like, Aaron Glenn getting interviews is in part because Dan Quinn has been successful this year, and you feel like you don't necessarily need the hot offensive mind. You can get a hot defensive mind too.
I agree with that, and I think for the Jets, considering the success he had as a player there, that feels like it could be a really cool hire. I don't know that anything's ever going to work with the Jets, but I feel like that could be a cool hire.
Right. Sometimes ownership is the problem, but yeah, I mean, he'd be an interesting guy.
Hey, man, we work in Washington. We know that. Aaron, thank you for the time, bro. Enjoy the playoffs.
All right, guys, FTNFantasy.com. Come check it out.
Gotcha, brother.
Aaron Schatz, FTNFantasy.com. You can give him a follow at A-Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. I want one key to beating Detroit on Sunday, okay? I want to go around the room on this. There is some coaching news I want to go over real quick, though. Apparently, Belichick doesn't have his contract signed, right? At Carolina, but somebody just sent me a video. Bill Belichick is at St. John's in D.C. today. Military Road, shout out. Like, the contractual stuff, I think that'll get taken care of. It seems like Belichick's all in on Carolina. We'll see.
He hasn't signed a contract yet, though, so something going on.
Yeah, but the lawyers are going to lawyer. In the last 5 minutes from legitimate reporters, I've seen that Dion will take the Cowboys job if offered. And then I've also seen that the Cowboys just requested an interview with Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator of the Eagles. So whatever the hell they got going on in Dallas, good luck with all that. Jeff is bizarre and has written – Jeff, I'm coming to you, buddy. You're the superior being here. Jeffrey – how does Washington beat Detroit? Give me specifics.
Okay, first, we need the win on the offensive and defensive line. We cannot have our run play. We cannot have Jaden getting touched in the back as he's handing the ball off to B-Rob by the back of one of our linemen. Can't happen. Defense, we need to get a push. I'm still disappointed. Even though this was games ago, I'm still disappointed in how long Trey Lance had to throw the ball. Like, that really, like, ticked me off. So we need to get some push. And I think the last thing, because I know we're going to score points, we need at least one turnover. We get one turnover and can continuously score down possessions, we win the game. We got to steal a possession.
Mm. Sounds good, Jeff.
Well done.
I like that.
Professor Landini, how does Washington win in Detroit?
They got to stop the run. I think that's the key to it. This team has just been getting run on seemingly at will. I think the Lions, if they can run the ball effectively, they're just going to control it, and they're going to run up the score, and it's not going to go great for us.
I hear you, man. I agree with you. Stopping the run to me is imperative in this thing.
I wouldn't go so far as say stop it, limit it. Don't allow them. Stop it. Don't allow them those big chunk plays. If you make them have to drive down the field, you have a better chance. If they're just running off 8, 10, 15, you got a problem. Time to make a damn adjustment.
Yeah.
That annoys me.
They've been good in the second.
They are outstanding after making a halftime adjustment. Do something before. These guys, you got some veteran leadership on that squad on that side of the ball. Get this thing done before then.
For sure. Let's get to these phone lines. I want to let people weigh in. I want specifics. I want good calls here. Let's start with our guy, Toothpick. Toothpick, how does Washington beat the Lions?
Oh, good, JT. Okay, I'm going to give you three phases, right? Special teams, Jameson Crowder's got to do something like flip the script on a punt return. The defense has to show up and stop the run. And then the offense has to have consistent drives. Run the ball, give them a threat of the run, but they got to dominate the clock as well. That's how we beat the Lions.
All right.
I like it. You gotta keep it moving, man. Eric's down in Richmond. Eric, how did they win this game, bud?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
All right.
I would say, for me, the team has played the best lately when they get Terry involved early. Personally, I want to see them get a deep shot somewhat early, show them that they're not afraid of them, because Detroit's secondary is banged up pretty good, even though they still got guys that can play. But I'd say take advantage of that, and if they can strike gold early, get a touchdown, stay ahead of the time of possession, run it when they have to, but whenever they line B-Rob up right now, it's just 2 yards at best right now. But I would still run the ball like you have to, but I want to see some early play action, deep shot, give him in a hole, and then let Jaden do his thing and run the ball, control the clock. But, yeah, a turnover early would be nice too, but that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, bro.
Dude, the turnover early, sure, but – if you can break off another one of these long drives like they did in Tampa, dude, that was just so vital for 100 different reasons. It just cemented that they knew they were in the game and they took the lead. I mean, they had the lead. They were in control of this thing for, I don't know, probably at least half the game. I mean, they had the lead. They gave up that touchdown just before halftime, which was tough.
Yeah.
But then they come out in the third quarter, and they're able to get another field goal. They can't get into one of these slow starts. The one thing I really don't think you can afford to do here that they did with the Atlanta game and the Philly game is get down, not necessarily big, but get down two scores and then come back.
Detroit has the ability to just run the clock out on you.
Dude, they can just beat you so many different ways. It's just this is a different ball game in what they can bring. Let's go.
I believe just like in the last game where the Army stepped up, somebody other than Terry is going to have to step up and have a game similar to the Army.
I mean, maybe it's just the Army again.
Yeah,
right?
If he could do it again, but. Like, all we know OZ has the capabilities, Crowder has the capabilities. The kid that played against Jefferson, one-on-one.
Amik.
The whole game, right? He probably going to try to check Terry. 3-4 other people need to be cooking the rest of them because their best is not out there. So if he thinks he's going to go with Terry, Terry will get him eventually. But you have to have somebody else cook the other guys.
Amik Robertson is the corner you're talking about, who did a hell of a job in that Week 18 matchup with Justin Jefferson.
But what helped him, they were getting pressure, you know, on Donald. So the offensive line has to step up a little bit more, too, to not allow the pressure. And where you're playing man-to-man, where you got to be damn near perfect anyway. You don't want to be having to be perfect with pressure coming.
Jeff was right in bringing it up. Now, You go back to week 18, how little pressure they got on Trey Lance. I do think some of that was game plan specific. It was week 18. They had already clinched the playoffs. I think they just kind of dialed everything back. They didn't want to show too much. Last week on Baker, they generated some real pressure. Mm-hmm. Now, Baker is slippery. He can run. He was running plenty in that game, honestly. Goff isn't. Like, he's not nearly the mobile guy that Baker – I mean, he's not – he makes Kirk look mobile. Like, Goff is not a mobile passer. And he can move around the pocket enough, and he's big and strong and will stand in and take some hits.
6'5", right? 6'5"? He doesn't want to run.
He's not easy to get down, but this is a different challenge. And if you can generate pressure, especially for me, man, I keep going back to this, B. I thought John Allen probably played the best game of the year, but certainly the best game he's played since he came back from injury in Tampa. If you can get that interior pressure – if you can get Goff off his spots, because this is a timing offense, you can get the play calling and the schemes are fascinating at times, but it's a timing-based offense.
Yeah.
If you can mess up that timing and just get Goff moving a little, not because he has really good feet and his arm is very strong when he's able to plant and fire, just mess that up a hair and you might be able to do something. Lattimore, just being so physical at the line of scrimmage, he might be able to mess that timing up a hair. Yeah. Just a little bump here. I think, for me, though, Allen, Payne, Newton, if those guys can make an impact defensively, if you can get that push in the middle there, would really, really make a huge impact. And I think you're totally right. You're probably not going to beat to stop Detroit's run game. I don't think all of a sudden Montgomery and Gibbs combined for 47 yards. But if they don't, especially if Gibbs doesn't get to hit any home runs on you, that's an advantage. And what's bizarre, they've given up home runs in the run game this year. I mean, Saquon for sure.
Yeah.
Bijan, like, they've given up these long runs, and then they usually can stop that afterwards. Just don't give those up.
Let's just imagine they gave up one before the game start.
Right.
And then put whatever you put in after halftime. Put that in the beginning of the game, please.
Let's go to Kenny in Largo. Kenny, how does Washington beat Detroit Saturday night?
What up, Mr. JP, Mr. D-Mitch? How y'all feeling today?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. So, it's one thing we got to do, man. It's just like we did against the Bucks, man. TOPs, man. Time of possession. If we somehow can keep Lions offense off the field, you know what I'm saying? We got a chance. I feel like that's our best chance. Keep that Lions offense off the field. Force a turnover to, like Jeff said, get a time possession, man. And we good to go.
We can beat
us against anybody, man.
All right, bro. Gotcha.
All right. I'm getting this again, B.
What?
This is from DC or Nothing on Twitter. He says, when you take a deeper dive into Detroit's record, it's intriguing. 6-0 in their division. 4-0 versus the NFC West. Which was, as a division, was 34-34. Also, that's not even right. Didn't they? No, that's right. They beat the Rams. 4-0 against the NFC West. 4-0 against the AFC South. Now, that's a bad division. Titans, Jags, Colts, Texans. They beat the Cowboys. They lost to the Bucks. Lost to the Bills. They lost to the two teams with the best record.
Yeah.
This, to me, though, is just reach. You know, it's not like. I think if you want to go down that road, then you're allowing that road to be discussed with Washington, too. And I just don't think at this point much of that stuff matters, dude. Let's go to Duck in Waldorf. What up, Duck?
Oh, no, yeah.
How you doing?
Ain't much, man. Hey, on defense, man, we got to stop that run. We can't let Gibbs run on us and them eat the game up, slow the game up. And on offense, man, we got to get some of them two back steps back up in there, man. Eckler and B-Rod, man. Hopefully that'll loosen the run game up. That's all I got for y'all, man. Have a good day. All
right, bro. Appreciate it.
I feel like we haven't seen much, if any, two-game sets, man. Two-back sets, rather. Maybe a little. I think, you know, one thing that's interesting is all your tight ends have landed on the injury report this week. Bates, Sennett, and Ertz, I think all are playing, but it's a real part of the game.
Yeah.
Detroit, averages. This is postseason. I don't want regular season. I was very confused why Detroit wasn't on there. Coming into this game, we keep talking about the Lions' rushing attack. It's good. They average 146 yards per game on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Washington's ahead of them at 154.
Mm.
The problem is Washington was running the hell out of the football collectively as an offense.
Yeah.
And that just kind of has evaporated, and now it's like Jaden's running the ball well, and you're not getting it from the backs.
But see,
I'm not saying you want to stop Jaden.
I really believe at this time of the year, you don't have to force getting it from the back, as long as you're getting it. And what they are doing with that passing game, the short passing and things like that, that's an extension of it. We may not be getting it traditionally like everybody else is, but we're winning.
Right.
And I think it's something about it. So if it's not working, I understand. But a lot of it is not working. People could say they want about the running backs. Did they not see those defensive linemen pass the offensive line all game? Like Jeff said, they were touching Jaden as he was handing the ball.
Yeah, I'm not – I think it's a collective group thing. Washington on the regular season ranked third in the NFL in rush yards per game.
Yeah.
154 per game. Now, the two ahead of them were significantly ahead of them. You had the Eagles at almost 180 and then the Ravens at 187.
And look at the running backs that they have.
Sure. But I think with those two, with Washington, though, if you're looking at 154 as the number, they haven't gotten to in four of their last five games, including the playoff win in Tampa, they've been below their season average.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it significantly. In Tampa, they only had 82 yards on the ground. Jaden got going early and then kind of wasn't running much in the second half. I think Tampa tried to take that away from them. But they haven't. They got the 216 rushing against Atlanta. A lot of that was Jaden late. If you remember, in overtime, he had a couple big runs. They had the big rushing game against Tennessee. That was probably their best offensive performance of the second half of the season.
Yeah.
They really needed it. They had lost three in a row. Tennessee stinks. They went out there and just put Tennessee down. But they haven't really run the ball well since like before that Steelers game. I mean, the first half of the season numbers versus the second are just like night and day different. And it doesn't mean that it's like a fatal flaw, but it is something you notice.
Like, they ran it very effectively early. So what do defenses say? Let's stop them from running the ball. They got a rookie quarterback. Make him beat us. Well, you chose the poison, and that poison still beat you. And I think a lot of it comes down from teams have sold out to try and stop this running game because they didn't think Jaden could get it done. He's done it over and over again. So does Detroit try something different? Because they look at it and they go, it didn't work for all the other teams they played. So let's play it more balanced. You play it more balanced, then they get some run, and now the offense comes back.
Phone lines are going to stay open, I think, this whole hour. 800-636-1067. Sneak one more in here. My guy Ryan. What up, Ryan? How does Washington pull off the upset this weekend?
So first off, shout out Landfill for Walls of Jericho Music. I crushed all five episodes of the Vince McMahon doc last night, and I'm a 37-year-old, so I loved it. The time of possession is huge, but people need to remember, like, the more this game goes and is close, if we can get it to the third quarter and we're winning or down by a score, the pressure is going to mount so much on Detroit that they're going to be nervous. And the Washington Commanders are going to be like, we've done this every week. I just think we need to run. We have to control the clock, but we have to finish the drives as well. It's a mandatory thing. The last thing I'll say is Detroit's defense. I saw a stat this week. Detroit's defense was 31st against running quarterbacks. I know every defense in the league is going to spy Jaden, but we have to get a running game. We need Jaden to be efficient, and we got to control the clock.
There you go.
All right, man.
Thanks, Ryan. Good call, bud. Phone lines remain open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm also getting people telling me how they're going to win via social media. Maybe you can drop it in the chat if you want. Nobody go anywhere.